You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome, everyone, to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 12. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and to save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. You can access all of our podcasts with the accompanying blogs on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our podcasts are also available on Spreaker and Stitcher. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It records the beginning of time, the beginning of life, the beginning of sin, and the beginning of salvation. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines are revealed in Genesis and further developed in other books in our Holy Bible. As a result, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin in the book of Genesis. And we've titled podcast number 12, Mankind, the Climax of God's Work in Creation. So let's start by sharing with you a few scriptures in Genesis. Go with me, please, to Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:26-27 says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:7. Let's go there. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. So I have a few questions for you. What does being made in God's image mean? What is the soul? Is the soul immortal? When will the dead in Christ receive immortal bodies to go with their immortal souls? I'm glad you asked. Let's get started. The account of creation in Genesis states that God created the world in 6 days and rested from his work on the seventh day. So let's take a closer look at the 6 days of creation. God's work on day one is mentioned in Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God speaks light into existence and separates the light from the dark. God names the light day and the dark night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God's work on day two is mentioned in Genesis 1:6-8. God creates the sky and separates the sky from the water, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God's work in day three is mentioned in Genesis 1:9-13. God separated the waters from the land. God named the dry land earth. God gathered the waters and named them seas. God produced plants with the ability to reproduce. God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. God's work on day four is mentioned in Genesis 1:14-19. God creates the stars and the heavenly bodies. The sun will rule during the day and the moon will rule at night to divide light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God's work on day five is mentioned in Genesis 1:20-23. God creates animals that live in the water and the birds that fly above the earth. And all of the creatures were made with the ability to reproduce. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God's work on day six is mentioned in Genesis 1, verses 24 through 31. God creates cattle and all the creatures that live on the earth. God saw that it was good. Genesis 1, 26, 28 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So what are we saying? Mankind was created on the last day of creation. Mankind was the last thing that was created by God. Mankind is the climax of God's work in creation. We are to have a dominion over all the earth. God has given us our marching orders. We have a lot of work to do to live out the delegated assignment that God has given us. So what does it mean for mankind to be made in the image of God? We are not gods, but we should act in a godly manner. We are created in God's image. We are the masterpiece of God's work in creation. God has dominion over all of his creation. Being made in the image of God, we are authorized to have dominion over the earth. Dominion has a positive connotation as it relates to our God-given delegated authority to rule over the earth. Dominion has a negative connotation when mankind's authority is abused, misused, and exercised in a selfish and sinful manner. When that happens, we experience domination, not dominion. Let's take a look at several aspects of our earthly dominion. As creatures that have been made in God's image, we have the responsibility to be God's representatives on earth. Leviticus 19, 1 through 2 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all of the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." What are we saying? We're saying we have a responsibility to be holy and to act in a godly manner. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, 9. And it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So ladies and gentlemen, we have a royal priesthood. We are people that have been set apart, been chosen by God to carry out God's will and his plan in the earthly realm. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. We are a peculiar people. We have a responsibility to be priests and ministers of righteousness in our daily lives. We are God's ambassadors and representatives on earth. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 9 says, "What is man that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to them? You have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hand. You put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." The psalmist is reiterating the marching orders given to us by God in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. God is King of kings. God is Lord of lords. We are holy people. We have a royal priesthood. We've been set apart. We've been created in God's image. We have a responsibility to exercise our dominion over the earth in a godly manner. Let's look at our political dominion over the earth. As creatures that have been made in God's image, we have the responsibility to be godly citizens on earth. We are called to live as servants to God. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 says, "For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or as governors, as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right, you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Let's look at Romans. Romans 13, 1 through 7 has something to say about political domination as we're made in God's image and have authority over the earth. Romans 13, 1 through 7 says, every person should place themselves under the authority of the government. There isn't any authority unless it comes from God. And the authorities that are there have been put in place by God. So anyone who opposes the authority is standing against what God has established. People who take this kind of stand will get punished. The authorities don't frighten people who are doing the right thing. Rather, they frighten people who are doing wrong. Would you rather not be afraid of authority? Do what's right, and you will receive its approval. It's God's servant given for your benefit. But if you do what's wrong, be afraid, because it does not have weapons to enforce the law for nothing. It is God's servant put in place to carry out his punishment on those who do what is wrong. That's why it's necessary to place yourself under the government's authority, not only to avoid God's punishment, but also for the sake of your conscience. You should also pay taxes for the same reason, because the authorities are God's assistants concerned with this very thing. So pay everyone what you owe them. Pay the taxes you owe. Pay the duties you are charged. Give respect to those who you should respect, and give honor to those you should honor. In today's political climate, I think it goes without saying that many of our current elected officials are corrupt and have not exercised godly dominion, but have exercised evil domination. It is our duty as those made in God's image to participate in government and to elect godly public officials. One more scripture as it relates to political domination as we're made in God's image. Go with me to Matthew. Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27 says, when they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came up to Peter and said, does your teacher, they're talking about Jesus, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And Peter said, yes, he does. And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect taxes? From their children or from others? When Peter said from others, Jesus said to him, then the children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open his mouth, you will find a coin, and take that and pay the tax for you and pay the tax for me. Yes, I said it. Jesus Christ paid his taxes. Being made in God's image, it is our duty to be law-abiding citizens, and that includes paying our taxes. If your government is dishonest or corrupt, vote for candidates that are God-fearing. Make a difference. You matter, and your vote counts. What is a soul? And is a soul immortal? God created mankind with a body and a soul. Our physical body is mortal and temporal. Our physical body ages daily and will eventually perish and decay. Our soul is the spiritual aspect of our being. Unlike our body, our soul is immortal. Our soul will live forever. The final and eternal destination of our soul is determined by whether or not we accept Jesus Christ while we are yet still alive. The souls that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will live for eternity with God. The souls that reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will live for eternity in torment in hell. Regardless to your choice of accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ, your physical body is mortal and your soul is immortal. Let me give you three scriptures that underscores that. Go with me to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. A little background, this is when Rachel, which was Jacob's wife, was dying in the process of giving birth to her son, who they named Benjamin. So here we go, Genesis 35, 18. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin. So what am I saying? Rachel's soul departed from her upon her death. Rachel died, but her soul departed. Rachel died. Her soul did not die. Her soul departed. Revelation 6, 9 through 10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and for the testimony they had given. And they cried out with a loud voice, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth? So what am I saying? I'm saying the souls remained alive even after their bodies had been killed. And the souls were asking God for judgment and to avenge their death. One more scripture. Go with me to Matthew 10:28. This is Jesus talking. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is stating that mankind can kill your body, but mankind cannot kill your soul. Unlike your body, your soul is immortal. Your soul will live forever. The souls that accepted Jesus Christ will live forever with him, and the souls that reject Jesus Christ will burn for eternity in hell. Which brings up another question. When will our dead bodies become immortal and reunite with our mortal soul? I'm glad you asked. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15:35-38. Then I'm dropping down to 42-44. Then I'm dropping down to 51-58. Here we go. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps a wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a physical body, there's also a spiritual body, but it's not the spiritual that is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unshakable, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Mankind is the climax of God's work in creation. So let's sum it up. It's time to go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. On day one, God speaks light into existence and separates the light from the dark. God names the light day and the dark night. On day two, God creates the sky and separates the sky from the water. On day three, God separates the waters from the land. God named the dry land earth. God gathered the waters and named them seas. God produced plants with the ability to reproduce. On day four, God creates the stars and the heavenly bodies. The sun will rule during the day and the moon will rule at night to divide the light from the darkness. On day five, God creates animals that live in the water and the birds that fly above the earth. All of the creatures were made with the ability to reproduce. On day six, God creates cattle and all the creatures that live on the earth. Also on day six, God made man in his own image. God created males and females in his own image. Mankind was created on the last day of creation. Mankind was the last thing that was created by God. Mankind was given dominion over everything on the earth. Dominion has a positive connotation as it relates to our God-given delegated authority to rule over earth. Dominion becomes domination and has a negative connotation when man's authority is abused, misused, and exercised in a selfish and sinful manner. Mankind's dominion over the earth includes spiritual and political dominion. Spiritually, we are to be holy and act in a godly manner. We are a chosen generation. We have a royal priesthood. Politically, we are called to be law-abiding citizens. If your government is dishonest or corrupt, vote for candidates that are God-fearing. God created mankind with a body and a soul. Our physical body is mortal, and temporal. Our physical body ages daily and we will eventually perish and decay. Our soul is a spiritual aspect of our being. Unlike our body, our soul is immortal and will live forever. The final and eternal destination of our soul is determined by whether or not we accept Jesus Christ while we are yet still alive. The souls that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will live for eternity with God. The souls that reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will live for eternity in torment in hell. When Christ returns, our resurrected bodies will become immortal and we will be reunited with our immortal souls. Mankind is the climax of God's work in creation. Accepting Jesus Christ or rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will determine your eternal destination. If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the Salvation tab. Download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. Also, we're available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org. Please share our podcast on your social network platforms.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FOUNDATIONALBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry provides weekly Bible-based lessons on essential Christian doctrine. Our lessons are prepared for believers and non-believers to help our readers and listeners know what they believe and why they believe it. I pray that this ministry is making a difference in your life. We are a federally tax-exempt, nonprofit, listener-supported ministry. We're asking that you prayerfully make a donation that will help sustain us and expand our ministry services in 2019. We understand that some of our listeners may not be financially able at this time to support us. However, we pray that if this ministry is making a difference in your life, and if you are financially able, please consider making a contribution of any amount to support our ongoing work. We have several ways that you can give to our ministry. You can give online on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab. You can also give by writing a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, P.O. Box 2156, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 35403. Our podcast can be listened to and downloaded from our website. And with the support we've received thus far, we've been able to expand our podcast Bible Lessons Ministry to include Spreaker and Stitcher podcast listeners. We're looking forward to your continuous generous support. They'll help us sustain and expand our ministry to many other podcast hosting sites and venues in this upcoming year. May God bless you. Genesis 2, 15 through 17 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Genesis 3, 1 through 5 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil.'" Satan is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3 after the creation of the world and after the creation of Adam and Eve. When was Satan created? And how did he end up in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? Were angels created before mankind? Since Satan was on earth and was not in heaven, was he a fallen angel that was expelled from heaven? What was Satan's sin that caused him to be expelled from heaven? Were other angels expelled with Satan from heaven? What was the temptation used by Satan to get Adam and Eve to disobey God and sin against him? Is mankind cursed because of Adam's sin? Is there a remedy that removes the curse of Adam from mankind? I'm glad you asked. We will answer and discuss these questions in our next blog and in our next podcast titled Adam, Eve, Satan, and the Original Sin. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.